You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 10th of January. Some geeky details to the Mirotić talk and some other trade talk opportunities to discuss for the Utah Jazz. Plus, John Wall and the Washington Wizards are tonight's opponent. And finally, a Wednesday NBA 5, all on a Draft Wednesday edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? Good morning. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. It is an early Wednesday morning, even on the East Coast. Most of you have not risen yet. If you're still in Utah, glad to be with you. I am David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, some geeky numbers, and a behind-the-curtain look at what's going on with the franchise. I think I set up the topics for you today. Today is Draft Wednesday. We do it every single Wednesday. Have a great time with it. Draft is a app, or you can do it online as well at draft.com. And the fun, enjoyable part of it is the draft. So it's daily fantasy, but the best part of daily fantasy is your draft, right? Draft night in fantasy football, whatever, is the best. On all the other daily fantasy sites, you do a salary cap. You don't really draft. In this one, what you do is you enter in, do a three or a five, or build it yourself head-to-head. A buddy and I do head-to-head football over the weekend and golf during the week. Draft. You actually do the actual draft, and then you get the points assigned. It's in basketball tonight. It would be great. Very simple, very straightforward. You end up drafting a center, two forwards, and two guards. And when you look at the January 10th NBA schedule, you've got about 12, as many games you usually do. So tonight's a great night. I think we have 11 games tonight. So great time to get the group together, play draft. Use the promo code LOJAZZ and you'll get a $3 game free on your with the use of your after your first deposit. So it's you can do it at draft.com. You can do it on the app draft. Get your buddies together, play, download the game draft. I will also put up a Locked On Jazz game for you. So please enjoy that. It's Draft Wednesday. All right, I didn't do this yesterday because I didn't want to get lost in the whole bigger Mirotić conversation. I thought yesterday the two pieces of information that were useful were who is he and what would it take? And I thought we addressed that pretty well. And now today is kind of second level stuff. And then answering a question or two that I got. So I ended yesterday with what will it take? And, you know, Chicago's holding out that they are going to get a expiring contract and a first-round draft pick. And if you're the Jazz, who are currently sitting at 10 on your draft picks, you're not about to do that. That doesn't work. So the option you have is to give a protected, well, at least in my opinion, I don't think I'd give up a top 10 pick for Mirotić. Okay? The next option you have is, and maybe I'm wrong on that, by the way, just want to interrupt myself for a second. You know, we gave up the 12th pick for George Hill. I think that was probably the right move. It was Taurean Prince because that draft wasn't great. You know, if the analysis of this draft is that after five, which there isn't much, which might be the right analysis, then maybe you got to consider this differently than the way I'm portraying it. But let's assume for a second that the analysis by the Jazz is that Mirotić is, for a year and a half before he gets paid, is not match what you can get with the 10th pick of the draft. Okay? So that would be, if that's the case, now you're trying to find what a value you're willing to give up. Well, if we had picks, you know, if we trade for Mirotić and he becomes good and it allows us to make the playoffs in an upcoming year, then we probably feel that then it's worthy of giving you a first round pick, you know, protected if in fact we're the 7th, you know, we're the 6th or 7th or seed or something of that sort. So what you can do at this point is you can take a pick, protect it, say, let's just say that we're going to give it to you. If we fall between 20 and 30, it's your pick. And for us, that's, you know, feels like a great deal, right? Like, okay, so if our pick's 20, and if after 3 years we don't hit 20 to 30, it becomes 2 second-round draft picks because clearly the Mirotić deal didn't work for us, okay? Seems like that's the fairest way to do this, and that's the possibility that gets a deal done because I don't really see Portland giving up a first-round draft pick. I don't see Detroit giving up a first-round draft pick. I don't. You know, the teams that I think give up a first-round draft pick are teams where it's a Cleveland or someone like that, or Golden State, or who adds Mirotić as another force, probably just doesn't need the first-round pick. Going to buy into a second-round pick if that's what they're going to do, the way the Warriors have the last few years. And so they'll use that as trade bait to add a player. Now, back to, let's say, that the Jazz and the Bulls come to agreement. They trade some expiring contract to the Bulls and a first-round pick that is protected 20 through 30. Here's the problem. Until that pick is fully exercised. So, you know, if you say, okay, in the 2018, 2019, and 2020 drafts, if we're between 20 and 30, you get the pick. And we'll take Mirotić. Until that pick is exercised, the Jazz cannot trade another first-round draft pick. The league rules are that you cannot trade first-round picks in back-to-back seasons. Now, the Jazz could draft a player and then trade the player on draft night. But they could not trade the pick in an upcoming trade deadline, or prior to a prior to the draft. So it limits your ability to make other deals moving forward pretty considerably. Like that's being hamstrung decently. You know, 20 through 30, if your intention is a little bit of like, okay, I'm not sure we're going to be there. So in 3 years, this becomes 2 seconds. Then you've also really hamstrung yourself in future deals. That should be weighed. That's something that is part of the equation that's kind of difficult to grasp. The second one in the weeds here is that if Chicago exercises the option on Mirotić's next year of its deal, which I think anyone who's trading for him other than one of the elite teams probably will do, right? If we're trading for him, we're not trading for him just for the next 3 months. We're trading for him for the next year and a half. Then Mirotić's no trade clause disappears. So that's part two. If Chicago just picks up his option, which might have to be mutually agreed upon, is the only, I'm trying to figure out the rules on that. I've read somewhere it has to be mutually agreed upon. Then he loses his no trade clause. So as of right now, all indications are he does in fact want to come to Utah. The bigger story here at this moment in time is how much do he and his representation want to come to Utah? And how much is that his selected destination while he has a no trade clause, which is going to make Detroit or Portland somewhat irrelevant because he's not agreeing? That's you know, it's not, the story to me is not whether the Jazz and Bulls are having conversations. The Jazz and Bulls should be having some conversations because it's a natural, obvious match. Jazz and Bulls should be having some conversations other than the fact that every general manager is trying to play, you know, coy in poker because Mirotić wants to come to Utah and we need to stretch four. final one was, you know, how is he different than Jerebko, who's a pretty nice player? You know, Jerebko's effective field goal percentage and his, both are having, you know, career years. So if you compare this year, the bigger issue is Mirotic's offensive prowess. So Mirotic, in 130 less minutes, has taken 60 more shots. So that's really the difference. He's also taken two times the free throws. So he is a more offensively active, prominent player than Jerebko. Jonas is having a good year. Jonas has gotten kind of a tough sleight of hand with the circumstances around being power forward. Played really well. Has been, you know, was having a career year. Said on record he was playing the best basketball he's ever played. Joe Johnson comes back, loses his spot in the rotation. Mirotic's defensive rebounding statistically is also superior by a large margin. And then Mirotic probably is a little better handle coming forward. But the biggest thing is just the usage rate. Jonas is at 15%. Mirotic is at 26%, pretty high. And Mirotic goes to the line a bit more. And he's younger. So I'm not sure that that's a great comparison. As good a year as Jonas is having, I'm not quite certain that I think that's a good comparison. Yesterday, we welcomed a new sponsor onto the show, Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending is been in the business for over 40 years, one of the largest independent lending companies out there. In April 2016, Josh Romney brought it to Utah. Now headquarters in Utah with 190 people, but still serving over 44 states. The Intercap Lending app is in the App Store, and that's where their goal, as I talked about yesterday, of getting a mortgage as easy as ordering pizza derives from. And I'm doing it right now. My closing will be on Monday. And I'm experiencing exactly what Intercap Lending's goals are firsthand. Their goal is to make it a win for you, to simplify the mortgage process, to expedite the process. We're doing a refinance. You could do either. You can pre-qualify without talking to anyone. What is this going to take? The market right now is insane if you're buying a house. So it's a great idea as you go to the Intercap Lending app, download it, pre-qualify based on your information through the app. You give that to your realtor, who should be Devin Cash, of course. And that was tongue. You're supposed to smile. And then you're in a position to act quickly in this market that's just incredible. They're going to put you in a position to be able to get that house in this market. Then as you go through the process, whether it's a refi or a mortgage, they're going to streamline the process. It's pretty incredible. I took pictures of most of the documents and just directly sent them in through the Intercap Lending app. Steve Carter's the guy who helped me out. You can call him directly, 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. You do not have to be in Utah. It can be in any of the 44 states that Intercap Lending does its work. Steve Carter is who's helped me out. Super, super good dude. 385-800-8528. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com and download the app. All right, we play the Wizards tonight. They do some neat stuff. So the first thing the Wizards do that I find really, really interesting is how they use their picking action right before plays. In fact, I'm going to try to launch a new series on Locked On NBA called Plays That I Like. And one of them, Gortat does some really interesting things. The Wizards do some interesting things. So the first thing to keep an eye on tonight, John Wall's up top in the half court, and they're trying to – you're trying to get something going. They go set a pick on the man for the man who's going to go set the pick for John Wall. So, in other words, if let's say Gortat's about to go set a pick for Wall on a high pick and roll, very traditional play. They'll set a pick on Gortat's man so that now that guy's trying to recover through a pick trailing off a step before that pick goes and gets set for John Wall at the top. It's really an interesting set of actions. I like that a great deal. The other one that they do, and I would put this up on plays that I like, is this is kind of complicated for a podcast, but hopefully this will work. So much of the NBA point guard defense now is shading your guy to one side. We call it channeling. Other teams call it icing. So let's say John Wall is slightly to the left of center. So now you jump up as a defensive player on John Wall's right shoulder and you're going to force him to his left hand. Most times, Gortat's now coming up and setting the pick on Ricky Rubio's defending John Wall. And then John Wall now attacks Derek Favors, heads downhill. One thing Gortat will do at times is set the pick on Derek Favors. So, John Wall has it up top. Rubio's guarding him. Gortat comes up as he's going to set a pick on Rubio. And he stops and he sets the pick on Favors. John Wall now goes to the left as Rubio's forcing him. Snakes back to his right hand. And Gortat's picking, in this case, would be the left shoulder of Derek Favors facing away from the basket. And he snakes him back underneath. So John Wall's so quick that he just beats Ricky Rubio on his own because Ricky's shading and Ricky has a tendency to overshade. And now Gortat has picked off Favors. It's a pretty neat play. Watch for it tonight. Watch that picking action. And see what happens. It's a play I think we could run with Donovan, with Rudy. Gortat is a good model for what we should watch. I mean, John Wall's not a great shooter. So here you got John Wall is not a great shooter. Bradley Beal's a better shooter than we have, but Bradley Beal's got some flaws I'll get into in a second. And a big that doesn't stretch the floor at all. And they're the 11th best offensive team in the league. It's good. Watching Washington is a pretty good model for us for offensive success. John Wall struggles badly against the Jazz and against Rudy Gobert. In fact, his knee doesn't actually even look that good right now. Watching him, he's missed some games, and I would say he looks a little off right now in his attack. His last 10 games have not been brilliant. They've been good, but not brilliant. He'll be better tonight because of the fact we don't have Gobert. You know, he really, and this is universal. If you kind of take it to a second, our defensive rating is a 101 with Rudy on the floor. I think it's up to a 107 or 108 with him off. Right now, 33% of shots are in the restricted area when Rudy plays 28% of shots are in the restricted area. 65% field goal percentage in the restricted area right now when Rudy's off, and 59% when he's on the floor. The other one is corner three shooting by opponents is 26% when Rudy's on the floor. And it's 44% when he's off the floor. That's a big one. Last year, John Wall in two games when Rudy was on the floor shot 39% and was 9 of 18 within 5 feet of the basket. And I thought tapped out. Rudy just causes John Wall's transition fast break game disappears when Rudy plays. You know, we probably should remember how good Rudy is, right? I mean, we're trying to win games right now, survive, see if you can sneak out the next two, stay in the playoff race. And then Rudy comes back, which probably isn't crazy far off from that, the way our schedules, we get some days off. I think he's reevaluated again, and then reevaluated in a time frame in which it's probably close for him to come back shortly thereafter. You know, if we can find a way to win tonight and go win in Charlotte, you know, we're not playing very well. It's weird to talk about wins or expecting to win, but if we can find a way to do that, then you're in pretty good shape. The year prior, by the way, John Wall shot 41%. So, I mean, this John Wall, and the year before, John Wall in two games only took three shots within 5 feet of the basket. I mean, he just didn't even try. So it's a problem for John Wall he doesn't have tonight. By the way, just to stretch out those numbers, corner three shooting is now at 44%, and when Rudy's on the floor, it's 34. Above the break, three-point shooting is at 36%. When Rudy's on the floor, it's at 33. You know, we just don't have to collapse in as well. Biggest difference is actually in the non-restricted paint, non-restricted area, where teams shoot 38%, 29% when Rudy's on the floor. And then they take 3% of their shots, actually fewer of their shots right now, in the restricted area when he's off the floor. That's swung just recently. Interesting. A little change there. Bradley Beal has what I believe is the largest discrepancy between catch and shoot and off the bounce shooting. 42% catch and shoot 3-point shooter, 29% off the bounce 3-point shooter. So keep an eye on that today. Tonight, Washington, after a made shot, is 24th in the league offensively. So this is the key to tonight's game. Is really whether the Jazz can play offense against the 8th best defense in the league. In other words, if the Jazz can make Washington take the ball out of the net, Washington scuffles. Washington's 24th in the league offensively after a made shot, 10th in the league after a defensive rebound, 2nd in the league off a turnover. Minnesota, by the way, is number one in the league off a turnover. Which is interesting. Didn't realize they were running at that level. They also have what someone's time is after a turnover, so like how urgently do you have to get back? And what's interesting on Washington, despite John Wall's speed, it's not crazy. You know, the difference is pretty slim. They're 9.6 seconds. Milwaukee's the fastest at 8.1. New Orleans is the slowest at 10.6. So it's not a big difference. After a defensive rebound, Golden State's the fastest. Washington's 20th. We're 27th. So that's where you can slow this game down a little bit. And keep an eye on that. So those would be the thoughts I have for you before tonight's matchup with Washington. Things to keep an eye on. Our ability to score offensively will be what allows us to get the defense set to control the game. Way to look at the success of an NBA player is PER, player efficiency rating. We Stockton and Malone had great ones, right? So the slow the flow people want us to discuss becoming WER All-Stars. What? What is WER? That is the water efficiency rating. The WER rating is now infiltrating our lives because people are emailing me and texting me and saying, I don't even live in Salt Lake and I'm thinking about my WER when I shower. Well, it's true. Because if you can keep your showers under 5 minutes, you will use about 12 to 25 gallons. A full tub uses 70. And if you cut a minute off of your shower, percentage you save can be up to 20%, right? 5 minute shower. Also, if you put in a low flow toilet, you'll save 0.3 gallons per flush, which sounds very little, but that'll help your WER because flushes add up. Little by little, small changes like that can take your WER to all-star levels. And if you keep it up, won't be surprised if the slow the flow folks decide that, you know, they're going to build you statues. Probably, honestly, the statue would be one of those things that, like, outside car dealerships kind of floats in the air, like the little blow-up balloon things that kind of has long arms and legs and stuff. Probably not, like, lifelike, similar to Stockton Malone statues just for being a WER All-Star. But cool. I mean, really cool that you can still drive down the freeway and say, hey, there I am because I'm a WER All-Star. Okay, that's probably not entirely happening. Slowtheflow.org. Seriously, though. They're not being serious about it. It is a major issue. As we start the year inconsistently and very, very dry, we can find ways to save. Go to slowtheflow.org. They break it into indoor tips and outdoor tips, and they're nice. They're really simple. They can tell you what to do with the dishwasher, the bathroom sink, the shower that we just talked about, whatever it might be. And they've taken a lot of time and effort to put this together. So next time you're showering, think about being a WER All-Star, and see if you can slow the flow. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the NBA 5. Does everybody realize what Minnesota's doing? If you go to the last 15 games in the NBA season, we've all played 40, so we could break it into 20, but let's, for the time being, break it into 15. And then we can discuss it at 20 if we want to. Minnesota's the number one team in the NBA. Jimmy Butler took control of this franchise, and they are rolling now. Minnesota, over the last 15 games, is the number one team in the NBA. Number one offense, number eight defense. The Warriors are number two. Toronto's number three. How about that last night? You see the fights? James Johnson, Serge Ibaka got into it. Then Goran Dragic got into it with DeMar DeRozan after the game. DeRozan threw a punch. Oklahoma City is fourth. The Clippers, Blake Griffin out with a concussion, are the fifth team in the NBA in the last 15 games. Tonight's opponent, Washington, is sixth. Denver is seventh. 76ers, eighth. Boston, nine. San Antonio, 10. We're down near the bottom along with Orlando, Sacramento, the Lakers, Memphis, Atlanta, Phoenix. Those are the teams you'd expect. I got to admit, even with our injuries, due to our schedule, I think is what's this, you wouldn't expect, even with our injuries, for us to be around Orlando, Sacramento, LA, Memphis, Atlanta, and Phoenix right now. You know, those are kind of the six worst teams in the NBA. Maybe our schedule is what dictated that as much as anything. We'll see. But that's a little discouraging. Not a little. That's a lot discouraging. You know, that's hard to talk playoffs when you're in that group. We'll see if we can turn it, if we can get Rudy back, if we can figure this out. I mean, hey, we've pivot season. We got our pieces. Not a lot different in the last 10 games. When you're looking at it, but Minnesota's really, really, really interesting. And worth keeping an eye on what they've done, because they might be legit. One thing I keep talking about is offensive rebounding. So does being one of the top five offensive rebounding teams in the league, which is top 20%, have a negative impact on your defense, and does it have a positive impact on your offense? Of the top five teams, two of them are in the top 10, Minnesota and Denver. Three of them are in the top 15. None of them offensively are worse than 17th. So they're all average or above. Defensively, the top five offensive rebounding teams, in turn should struggle, right? They should be bad at defense. They're not. They're Oklahoma City, who's 6th. They're Philadelphia, who's 7th. They're New York, who's 15th. They're Minnesota, it's 19th and improving. And they're Denver, who's 20th. Those are the 5 best offensive rebounding teams in the league. The 5 worst offensive rebounding teams in the league, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, are all terrible defensive teams. Orlando, 27, New Orleans, 24, Milwaukee, 23, Dallas, 22. In addition, they're bad offensive teams in some cases. Orlando, 25, Pelicans. How are the Pelicans last in the league in offensive, 4th to last in the league in offensive rebounding, 6th. Utah, 20th offensively. Milwaukee, 7th. And Dallas, 15th. If you believe that offensive rebounding has a negative impact on your ability to get back in transition, then we should look specifically after a defensive rebound. And the teams that are good offensive rebounding teams should be bad after defensive rebounds, right? So Oklahoma City gets the most offensive rebounds, largely because of Steven Adams, after a miss defensively, is the 8th best team in the league. Okay? No correlation. Denver, after a defensive rebound, despite their offensive prime, is the 5th best defensive team in the league. They're 29th after a turnover. That's their problem. Philadelphia is the 12th best defense, despite their offensive win. The Knicks, with Enes Kanter, are 19th in the league in defense after defensive rebounding. But the pace of play on the other team is 20th. The pace of play against Denver is 16th. The pace of play against Oklahoma City is last. Maybe it's the exact opposite. If you offensive rebound like these guys do, you force people to stay back to get on the glass and they don't run. And finally, Minnesota is 18th, and you do have the fastest time against them. Minnesota's transition defense is bad. But the more and more I look at this, I do not believe, I think the league has swung way too far to not involve offensive rebounding. I'll have to write something up on it, maybe in Charlotte with our day off. This has been Locked On Jazz. Make sure you keep an eye out for Draft Wednesday today. Go sign up, enter in the promo code LODRAFT. I think you automatically become one of my friends. And when I launch the Locked On Jazz draft tonight, you can join it. I'll put a $3 league out there so that you can use your promo code to get in, so it's basically free. And maybe I'll just do a 4-person game so that you make sure it gets off. And if I get more than one, we'll launch out more than one today. Have a great day. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's show brought to you by SlowTheFlow.org and Intercap Lending. Give Steve Carter a call at 385-800-8528. That's 385-800-8528. It is Locked On Jazz.